Well, in this very special episode of the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, we go over the Democratic debates. Oh. We talk, give some advice to a father and a stepson.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other thing we were talking about? I can't remember. Well, that's enough.
Good enough for you.
First, I'll tell you about Roman talking about erectile dysfunction. Not easy. We blame ourselves or we brush it off or make excuses with Roman. It's easy to talk to a real doctor who can prescribe real medications.
It's an efficiency. It's about time we did stuff like this.
I agree. Get a free online evaluation and ongoing care from the comfort and privacy of your own home. If medication is appropriate, Roman will send it to you with free two-day shipping as well. Visit GetRoman.com/ADS and complete an online visit. Straightforward, simple, and discreet. Just go to GetRoman.com/ADS for a free online visit and free two-day shipping as well. GetRoman.com/ADS for the free visit so you can get started at GetRoman.com/ADS.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
It's time for a new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. ACS and car lovers alike, get ready because February's shipment includes a Blu-ray of Adam's newest doc, Shelby American, with special features you can't get anywhere else, and a signature from the Ace Man you can't get anywhere else, a Chemical Guys Clean Car Essentials Kit, featuring butter wax, streak-free window cleaner, two odor eliminators, and more. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find a golden ticket for you and a plus one to join us at the Corolla Family Barbecue. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month, nor keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get on, gotta get on, just get on, man, get on. That's Drew. But he's...
You okay, man?
He's certified. And he's got a specialist. Mm-hmm. A specialty. You know, Drew?
Yeah?
I like the second act of Dr. Drew.
The second act?
The second act of Dr. Drew. Mm-hmm. Out there getting some, making hay while the sun shines,
yeah,
yo.
Man. Yeah, man.
Engaged. Mm-hmm. Occupied. Mm-hmm. Thinking, moving, mm-hmm. hustling, mm-hmm. shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know what's in the zeitgeist, but it seems like all the dudes I know. I feel like all the guys I know that are 50 plus are kicking it into the next gear versus ratcheting it down.
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what to attribute it to.
I don't either.
I feel like when I was,
except I have this very strange feeling. That like I'm on an offensive team, I'm a tailback or something, and we're on the 10-yard line. Let's go, let's punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know if there was ever. I mean, there's always cases of it, but what I'm saying is I feel like when I was growing up, guys, my friends' dads, they were just kind of dads, and they're kind of who they were, and that was just them, you know, and they didn't really change much, and they didn't seem to grow much or do much. And if the one guy,
I saw a lot of coasting,
a
lot of coasting,
right?
Looked like that anyway.
Yeah, it was that they were kind of doing the same thing, and then they just come home from work at the same time, and then they'd sort of eat dinner, and then they'd watch some TV and smoke a cigar, you know, read the paper. You know, it was a lot of wasn't going and getting some kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see guys like you, but I see guys like Kevin Hench or Jimmy or Nick Santora or Dennis Prager, and they're just out there getting some like every
Why
day.
Aren't the millennials with us? That's what I don't understand. You think that young people would be equally as eager.
There's people that are way too precious about their time. You know, they're into their time a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and they go, I'm going to take some time to reflect on the first hour of work, and I need to take my space and my time. Your time, when it's precious to me, but it shouldn't be precious like in quotes. You know what I mean? If you got to go do something, you got to do something. If something...
But they experience a lot of stuff as stressful. Like stressful in a negative
right.
way.
Stressful.
Yeah.
Right.
And I experience stress as positive. Like it's not a distress.
Well, you know, it's funny because I do feel like I had an early insider's World's Fair kind of look at this early on, you know, let's go 1950s World's Fair, and one day they're gonna have automobiles with air conditioning in it. Like I gotta look at all of it.
Yeah.
And my mom did a lot of couch things in terms of stressful. It's very stressful. It's very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmed and stressed. You know, everyone was stressed out and overwhelmed, except for they didn't have almost anything on their plate.
Yeah.
And it's a weird a lot of it, by the way, Drew.
Yeah.
That is a chick's approach to things. The overwhelmed and the stressed and how much they have to do versus the guys. Typically masculine, set it up, mow it down. Now,
I don't know. I heard some of those guys in those amphibious units hitting Omaha Beach going, they're overwhelmed and stressed. Too stressed,
the German pillboxes.
And the bio rhythms were off. they weren't ready to let the front slap down into the ocean.
What you're dealing with is when, you know, my nephew comes to work for me, I'm not hiring a 19-year-old boy. I'm hiring a female. Who's stressed out and overwhelmed and doesn't like the pressure of blah, blah, blah. It's the feminine approach to the process. And I always feel the need to explain myself, which is like, I'm not saying that is the wrong approach. It's not conducive to work. It's kind of the wrong, it's conducive to other facets of life. It's not what you're talking about, show up, roll up your sleeves, get to work, get a job, fight to keep it. Like that. No, it's not good for that. It's good for families and other endeavors on a human basis, but it's not good for winning the war or showing up and impressing the shit out of the boss. That's just the way it is.
Do you notice also that success in general is under attack?
Oh, sure.
I think we saw that in full display at the Democratic debates recently, right? You're a successful person. You're a scumbag.
We don't need another white millionaire. And they're like, look, you need the best person for the job. You know, and it's not, you don't need anything.
But what's interesting, it's like,
I mean, imagine if we did that with Obama. Like, I was like, we don't need another black guy. And like,
And
you need whoever's good.
And my understanding was Bloomberg essentially started with nothing, and he has tens of thousands of jobs now for other people and created this big infrastructure. He created it out of nothing. Isn't that worth something to somebody? I guess because it's not the government, it's not any good.
That part where you've created thousands of jobs and put thousands of people's kids through college and paid millions and billions in taxes and gave health care to so many or brought people in and beyond the middle class. The fact that that's neither here nor there, the notion that it's like, oh, Elizabeth Warren, your career politician, has never created anything and this guy's created 20,000 jobs, and that you look down your nose upon him, and so does your constituency and so do the people in the auditorium at the debate. I don't get it. That's the beginning of the end. We start, but if you really want to distill that down, the fact that California has looked at taxpayers as the problem is exactly what you're talking about in a slightly different modified way, but that you are basically, you got a target on your back because you pay taxes and play by the rules in California.
You're the problem.
You're the problem. That's right.
And so how does that get changed? This is what I'm constantly asking you. How do we push back? How does it in the pendulum swing?
We'll ask Chad. Chad?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's going on?
Hey, yeah, I just heard you guys talking about the debate and, you know, figured you guys had seen it. Did you guys also see that poll recently showing that Bernie Sanders is potentially going to sweep California? Is that what your guys are getting with the vibe out there, or what do you guys think about that?
That would make sense. That would fit with California.
Whatever the worst ideas are, that's what we implement in California. We just take the least realistic ideas there are on the planet, and we roll them right out. That's what
we do. Well, it's funny because... Yeah, last night nobody was hitting at Bernie Sanders. Everyone was going for Bloomberg, and you know the front runner was left, you know, unattacked. And it just is foolish if you know everyone's freaking out about the communists. And it's funny because they were also, you know, I heard a couple of the other nominees like Warren, you know, scoffing when Bloomberg hit him with a communist, you know, tag, and that just you know sums up the Democratic Party perfectly nowadays.
Well, it's again this communism thing isn't old, it's been around. I always think of it as less an infatuation with communism, more just a pushback against the man sort of thing. There's really nothing to like about communism in Russia. By the way, it's just a bunch of drunk white guys who are corrupt. You know, this notion of like, we went there, we honeymooned there. They're beautiful chandeliers. You know, like, what the fuck? The train stations are spotless. Yeah, because they fucking put you in a gulag if you spit gum out. Like, we could have one of those societies, too. You don't want stop and frisk. So you want clean train stations, Bernie. You're marveling at Russia's train stations and how spotless they are. Well, that's why.
Why doesn't he talk to Yakov Smirnoff?
He should talk to Yakov Smirnoff, who I see at the Comedy Store all the time. There's a group of people that want to rebel, and I get it. And those are the Bernie fans. He doesn't have anything to offer. He couldn't implement anything, and he's also I think he's an imbecile. I really do. He's got a lot of conviction. I think he's a pompous ass. And the reason I think he's a pompous ass is because he speaks with incredible authority about shit he knows nothing about that's impossible to implement.
Well, I'll just never forget that interview at CNN. How do you explain you made $100, $1 million for writing a book? You should really make it. Why don't you make $1 million? Like, I know you are, but what am I? That's his response?
Yeah. No, she said, why don't you just pay, you know, you want 70% taxes. Why don't you pay 70%? So, by the way, what you're saying is I'd like to implement a 70% tax bracket or tax number, tax percentage. So she said the logical question, why don't you then do that?
Why don't you pay 70% of your money?
Do it voluntarily. Yeah. Do it volitionally.
It's such a good idea.
It's a great idea. Why would that be a bad thing? And then he went, well, why don't you?
Why don't you? It's crazy.
Because I don't want it. I want it lower.
Talk about pompous ass.
He's a pompous
ass. That's pompous.
No, he's a fucking idiot. I mean, he's an idiot disguised as he's a super sincere idiot who's also pompous ass.
Here it is. Here's the moment.
You recommended a wealth tax, 70% wealth tax.
No, actually, I didn't. That was
77%.
No, I think another person.
What's your number?
What's my number? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think that in order to make sure that elderly people...
What's your number?
Continue to live
old
in poverty,
coot, we asked for your number. Hold on, pause it. All right. He said 70. She said 70. Then she said 77.
Yeah.
Then he said, no, that wasn't me. Then she said, what's your number?
Yeah.
All right. Say the number. Say it. And then you can talk about the elderly. But here we go.
Trying to get by of $13,000 or $14,000 a year. I think we should raise that cap for people making $250,000 or more, so we can make sure that our parents can live out their lives in dignity. I'll tell you what else I think. I think at a time when Wall Street is doing phenomenally well.
Hold on, pause it. See, there's a big thing. Here it is. He's made a leap. His leap is we got to raise taxes on people that make $250,000 or more so that the elderly can live out their life in dignity. You think that's how it's going to work?
Yeah.
Or are you just going to take the money?
Right.
See, if I could be assured that me paying some extra percentage points after 250 would assure that the elderly could live out their life in dignity. Don't be an asshole, by the way. What the fuck, in dignity? Okay, that's up to you to decide whether to take it. Then fine. That doesn't mean you guys collecting all the money and then spending it on a fucking bullet train.
And do we have an epidemic of elderly people living in horrible circumstances? Or do we have mentally ill people living in horrible circumstances?
All right, sorry. Keep rolling.
And we have millions of young people who are deeply in debt for the crime of having gone to college. I believe we should pass a speculation tax
on Wall
Street.
Well, that's fine, but I'm asking you about the wealthy and how much higher you would make it. You said you don't agree with 70%. What would your number be?
In the campaign in 2016, we talked about 52%.
All right, so 52%. So would you be willing to pay 52% on the money that you made?
Awesome.
You can volunteer. You can send a check.
Oh, you can volunteer, too. We have a...
But you suggested that everybody in your bracket should do.
And Martha, why don't you give? You make more money than I do.
Well,
why don't you give?
I didn't suggest a wealth tax.
And she's not running for president.
And
all right, but we're going to fight for a wealth tax. And we're going to demand that we end
All right, he's a pompous ass. He's a fucking idiot. First off, the person's... When you get interviewed, people are allowed to ask questions.
Yep.
You're not really supposed to go, why don't you do it? It's not answering a question.
Right.
You've suggested something. Look, I tell people to jump in a cold pool every morning. If somebody says, why don't you do it? I go, I do it. Drew suggested people have a high protein diet, low carbs. Why don't you do it? He does do it. Okay.
Yeah. It's all simple.
Yeah, he doubled down. Like, he's like, why don't you do it? And then she's like, I'm not suggesting. You make more money than me. Which, by the way, Bernie comes from a world where he can win every argument by just accusing someone of making more money than
successful.
Him. Yeah, you make, then you do it. It's like, what up? First off, I never really realized what an arrogant douche he is. You know, he hides behind the sort of weird grandpa and the fucked up hair, and you go, he seems like a disheveled professor, but he's really like an angry, arrogant douche. And also, he has no sense of himself.
Perfect for California.
He has no sense of himself. Like, yeah. Why? You understand how you're coming across? Now, I guess a sensible question would be, or a sensible response would be, I could pay 52%. Maybe I should. Obviously, for what I'm talking about, that's not going to change anything.
And by the way, what is it, 22% in the state of California? So you add the two and it'd be at 74% here, California.
Right. All right. Someone has a theory about women making themselves unattractive. Mm-hmm. All right. As it pertains to Billie Eilish? Mm-hmm. All right. Let me talk about Tommy John first. They don't give an F. They give three Fs.
Were you wearing them?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, Gary too. Ooh,
I'm always wearing them. It's all I own.
I wanted the Christmas.
There's an elk on there.
It's a Christmas thing.
Wow, what do you got, Gary?
Fabric fit,
Flex.
Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing else you've ever worn before. They got a no wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay put waistbands, luxurious soft feather light, moisture wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching, no riding up. If you don't love your first pair, you get a refund with the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee, but you're going to love it because I don't know. I've never really had a game changer where you want someone just goes, here's a t-shirt, here's some socks, here's some underwear, and I've never gone back to the other brand, but that's where I'm at with Tommy John. And they're in over 1,200 retail locations across the country, right, Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/ADS for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/ADS for 20% off TommyJohn.com/ADS.
All right, let's see. Step down.
We'll do Seth. We were talking about the Billie Eilish thing.
Sorry, Seth.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guy.
I'm a longtime fan. I love old Loveline stuff, and you guys are the kings of cultural analysis. So I wanted to kind of present my own theory and see if you guys think I'm totally off base or not.
Thank you. Here we go.
So I think that there's been this long kind of trend over the past 5 years. Like, women used to grow their armpit hair out as like a fuck you to the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of expanded to like, you know, tons of women having like super cropped green lime hair and even like growing out their unibrows or mustaches if they, you know, have the right hormones running through their veins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's gotten kind of insane. And I'm not sure it's the same as a trend like grunge, which I know like people freaked out about when I was a little kid, because I think, you know, dressing up like a Courtney Love type, you were still trying to attract like a Kurt Cobain. Like there was a reason for it. Like kids were trying to attract kids. But I feel like this is more kind of like how obese women might pack on more pounds because they don't want to attract men. I feel like a lot of young women, this is kind of like a fuck you to all men, and that they're not attracted to guys their age. Like they're soft. They're not masculine. They're actually trying to be like off-putting in a way. Does that make sense?
There's something in that.
There's something in it. Yeah, there's a little F you to society.
Yeah, a little F you to the patriarchy.
I'm not conforming to what you want me to be.
But that's the patriarchy
right.
now.
Right.
So if you're gonna point at who you're saying F you to, that's it. So he's on to something in that extent.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not it has the something to do with romantic attractiveness, that's a little bit different. It's a little bit different, and we don't know how the young males are experiencing it. Maybe they're sort of attracted to it in some weird way. You know what I mean? They like it.
Well, I was
right. Well, there does seem to be something different. Sorry to interrupt you, Adam, but and that how you know teenagers aren't having nearly as much sex, according to you know reports that I've seen, and intimate relationships kind of seem to be on the decline in tandem with Tinder and all these kinds of apps. It seems like there's just different incentives nowadays.
Yep, that's true.
Well, you know. Sedentary, and you know, pumping and a humping—that's a calorie burner.
You know, they have to move again.
Well, we're getting into a there's a lot of things conspiring against young love, which is first off, there's all the consensual Me Too. You know, is
so
it okay?
So the men are scared.
You know,
the males are scared.
Men are like, there's a little. I'll just stay home and you know. Beat off.
Porn. Porn's the other
thing. I'm not going out hunting.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, obviously, there's a biological component, whereas the sperm counts are going down, and probably testosterone
as
well.
The plastics, the estrogen, the plastics,
all the estrogen, all that kind of stuff is obviously one.
We should get him back on. I told the guy we should get him back for this show. But anyway, go ahead.
The guy does his science on that.
Yeah.
And then there's another component, which is. There's a physical movement component that we're not really factoring in. I spent my early years climbing trees and jumping off of roofs into swimming pools and physically wrestling other men constantly. It's a constant battle. I mean, I remember
before you had sex with them or after?
We'd wrestle during sex.
Oh, okay.
They would come.
Constantly.
No, constant wrestling. It was a Roman gladiator type orgy of wrestling. No, I mean, my friend Chris's mom would come home all the time and she'd be pissed because the furniture would be moved around.
Yeah.
That sofa would slid back, the end table. We'd go
really,
at it.
Going at her.
Yeah. Going at it hard. Lube up and go hard or go home. So. We had a lot of physical contact, a lot of physicality, and everything was something physical.
Yeah.
Now, guys are like watching a lot of TV, checking out their phone with their whatever page and looking at their sports thing, and they're playing their video games and all that kind of stuff. It's not really – there's nothing physical about it, you know? And I don't know. That has to contribute to some degree.
Totally. And I'd also like to add to that, like decision fatigue, because on these apps, you can just endlessly go through everybody in the country, or if you're rich enough, everybody in the world, you know, if you can travel around, they have different dating apps. You can look at people in Barcelona or wherever.
Huh.
So it's not just the people in your class or your town anymore. It's fucking everybody.
Crazy.
Yeah. And you were, I mean, Drew, think about how tactile your world was. out, engaged,
yep,
moving, practicing, scrimmaging. Yep. You know, I think they have football, but they don't even hit that much anymore. You know, it was so much engagement, you know.
Yep.
Your contact with other human beings, you know. Now it's all kind of potted off. In the car with the window rolled up, you know, mm-hmm, staring at the back of the headrest with the screen on it. You know, it's like, mm-hmm, it's all kind of leads to that non-engagement kind of thing. And, it, you know, sex is probably the ultimate engagement if you think about it. And they're not engaging.
Yeah. And libido is ultimately, it is about an energy, like a, you know, a vitality.
Right. Yeah. And we are trying to sort of douse the libido chemically and sort of sociologically, mm-hmm, and spiritually, and then physically, mm-hmm, as well. It's all a bunch of stuff like conspiring against that, what that was. All right. Let's see. Hey, what do you got?
I'll talk to you about LifeLock.
All right.
The U.S. Postal Service is warning about email scams. They come in claiming to be a postmaster general asking for payment of online postage charges. You got to remember, the USPS is not going to email customers directly to demand money. It's not going to happen. So you got to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Good thing there's something like LifeLock out there. We like to shop online. We like to work online. We like the convenience. We like the knowledge. But you got to have something like LifeLock. Think about identity theft. That's another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You can miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there is LifeLock. They detect a wide range of identity threats, even something like your social security number for sale on the dark web. They have agents. If there's problems, those agents will work to fix it. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
Brett, 32, San Diego.
Ace, man, Drew, how you guys doing?
Hey, man. Good, man. What's going on?
Not too much. I have a quick question for you guys. So, Adam, my dad died when I was 6 years old, man, and I grew up working construction. Basically, I'm an electrician, and I started when I was about 16, and basically the guys that were a father figure to me were construction dudes, which I know you're very familiar with that. So fast forward a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, I got married to my wife, and she has an 8-year-old. You know, so he's my stepson, if you will. And I don't know, man, I'm having a hard time connecting with the kid. You know, I know I'd never be the dad, but a little bit more about me. I don't know, Adam, I'm kind of your just electrician construction dude, man. I play in a band. I ride a Harley. I'd like to think I'm an overall pretty good dude. I'm not a piece of shit. I provide for my family, and trying to call and get you guys' advice. And
This kid is 11 now. This child is 11.
No, excuse me, Drew. No, he's 8 years old.
He's now,
so which is literally.
He was five when you arrived. What happened to his father?
His father is still in the picture, very much so. And him and I, me and the father, are just two different dudes, if we will. Adam, you know, you can find me changing the oil on my Harley during the weekends, you know, or doing my, like playing a rock band, you know, and the kid just doesn't seem to be interested, give a shit whatsoever. And I'm just kind of new to it, and I was just wondering, if you guys have any advice.
What's the kid into?
Video games, and you know, that's pretty much it, man. That's nothing. You know, Adam, I listen to you religiously, man, and every time you say, you know, stuff kind of about your kids or whatnot, it cracks me up, because I feel like it's the same thing. It's like, hey, man, I never had a dad that had a Harley. You don't want to go for a ride, or you don't want to learn how this engine works, or you know, you don't want to do this, or no, I want to play Fortnite, I want to do this, do that. And so I tend to, unfortunately, which I know you guys are going to harp on me for this, but I tend to be kind of a dick to him, I've noticed lately, in a sarcastic way, which I mean is I get the impression that his dad, you know, allows this kind of behavior. You know, it's okay to play video games. It's okay to do this kind of stuff.
The line's a little choppy, so I'll put you on hold, but I have thoughts, which is, kids need consistency. Mm-hmm. They don't need greatness.
Right.
They need consistency.
True.
And I've had little, I think everyone will have this. You know, I had a nephew who was that way with me. And I don't live with him, but he's like standoffish and, you know, and yeah. I just went, all right, well, that's his decision. Yeah. I will be around. I'll be consistent. And he'll pass through this
stage. He's not the one you brought in here to work, was it?
No. Okay. It was his older brother was that okay. way. But that's how he was. And then it passed, you know. I've had times where my daughter was like that way, you know, just, you know, Dad, don't come in the room, you know. And I go, okay. I'll just be consistent. I'll just be around.
Yeah, you know? It's not about you. You don't react. That's the point.
Right. And they know, and you say to them, hey, you want to go out and get a burrito? And they go, no, I'm playing Fortnite. And you go, okay, just asking. And they know.
Yep.
And you put it out there. And you're there and you're consistent. And you're not, you don't have to make comments and you don't have to try to outwit them. You don't have to do anything. You just have to sort of be there. And you have to be consistent, and you have to be – they have to know who you are and where you are and what you are all the time. And the story may be, hey, I had a stepdad. He was into the Harley. I wasn't into the Harley. He'd be in the garage working on the Harley. I'd be in my room playing Fortnite. But then they'll pause, and they'll go, Brett was a good guy.
Yeah, he was okay. But do not expect the child to be into what you are into. Do not insist the child be into what you're into. Meet them where they are and encourage out-of-home activities for sure.
But
not necessarily your activities.
But also, if you sort of relax, do your thing with a certain ease and a kind of confidence and not a pressure, right. rushed or harried, then the kids come to you sometimes. Mm-hmm. I was telling you, my daughter came to me and wanted to drive for the first time ever. I'd been Mr. Car, Mr. Drive, Mr. Everything. She's been zero to do with anything. And when we were done with the drive, for the first time ever, I sat down with her and I showed her me driving professionally and what it's like inside the car at those speeds with the shifting and the other cars and whatever. And it's the first time ever she watched. Like, it's the first time ever she went like, oh, good. What's going on here? Wow, that's intense. You know, she all the other times before, I was like, hey, all right. Yeah, okay, great. Tom's like, now, but she had to come to my doorway.
She had to come to you.
And yeah. She had to say, teach me to drive.
Yeah.
That's what had to happen. And I had to take all the driving discussion from 0 to 13 and a half was
empty
yeah. and didn't move the needle yep. until then. All right, tonight, Cleveland, Hilarities, everyone. Come on out, say hi. Maybe a few tickets left, 2 shows. Then off to Indianapolis, Helium, tomorrow, Saturday, 2 shows each night. Go to amcurl.com for all you need, and you can pre-order I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All Woke No Joke Culture. It's coming out on soon, day before my birthday. But go to Amazon, click through us, and bookmark us, and pre-order. And if you don't have or you're not listening to us via Spotify, well, you can now. And if you are, share it with a friend. Send them the link to Spotify, and you download Spotify app now for free. What you got, Drew?
Go to DrDrew.com. We've got Dr. Drew Podcast. Adam and Drew is still there up. We've got a streaming show you can sign up for at DrDrew.tv. And don't forget about After Dark.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll with Dr. Drew. Say, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.